Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. No, you won't find sharks in Lake Oahe, the Big Sioux River, or Missouri River, but we also need to remember how important sharks are for the ocean and for humans. Stephanie Arney is a speaker, explorer, and wildlife presenter, and she's the founder of the Creative Animal Foundation, and she's joining us again to help educate us. Today it's about sharks and the role they have on planet Earth. Stephanie, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for always having me.
Now, it's interesting to me because, of course, we're coming off of the celebrated television spectacle that is Shark Week, but I was just in Minnesota this weekend, and someone was telling me about shark attacks on the coast in Florida and North Carolina and how she was never going to swim in the ocean again. So even here in the middle, in the middle of the country, stories about the ocean and about sharks travel and resonate right here.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I want to talk about that. So what I first want to speak about is a little bit about Shark Week, a couple of my personal stories and perceptions about sharks. Then I want to jump into what's really going on. What are we really learning? What's the truth? And what can we do to keep ourselves and our family safe when we do go to the ocean? And if we do have an incident happen, what do we do right away?
All right. So let's start with that stuff. Shark Week history. Where do you want to begin?
Okay, so like most of you, Shark Week has been an exciting thing. It's always been really fun. A lot of us really enjoy this week and get excited about it. And it's pretty cool because it's actually been around since 1988. I actually didn't even know that. I probably started watching in the mid-90s. But it's been around since 88, and they've been devoted to shark conservation efforts and trying to correct misconceptions that are shared on the media. And since 2010, they've been the longest-running TV program in all of history, which is pretty impressive. And they are in 72 countries. And no matter what anybody's opinion is of what their content is and what they're sharing or not sharing or whether they have enough females or not, they have kept sharks relevant for 30 years in a row, which is really helpful because sharks' numbers have been declining for much longer than that. So it's important that we get out this information. The only struggle is the fact that they are a fascinating, important creature, and we need people to not fall in love with them, but grow to respect them because they do balance out our ocean ecosystem that we all depend on for survival. But they're also really scary looking. And so it's hard to get people of all different perceptions and backgrounds and beliefs to basically get attached to them or become fascinated with them. And that's why we see this fluctuation in different types of content from being more like a scary movie to being highly documentary educational to having celebrities on to doing even something like a mockumentary like the Megalodon shows that we've seen before. You remember that one?
Yes, I think so. Tell me some of your shark stories. I want to hear your personal experiences with sharks.
Okay, so I grew up in South Dakota, and so like most of you, I was interested and fascinated with sharks, but of course, I didn't understand them. I had never even been in the ocean. I didn't go into the ocean until I was like 23, so I didn't really understand how that whole ecosystem worked. So when I moved down to the Florida Keys when I was about 24, I went snorkeling for the first time, and I actually went lobster hunting. And because I spent so much time in the pool, I was a lot better at free diving than I expected.
Yeah.
And I jumped into the water and I was, you know, capturing all these lobsters for the very first time ever having that experience. And these reef sharks came by. And like most people, it's like, ah, oh my gosh. And you start to freak out. And then you tell yourself, wait, I'm not supposed to freak out, but my instincts are telling me to freak out. Oh, I don't know how to win here. I don't feel safe. I learned very quickly that there's over 400 species of sharks. It's just that we only see, you know, these top bull, tiger, great whites on TV. But there's many, many species much smaller that are not dangerous or potentially dangerous really at all. And so I started seeing sharks in a different way, and I instantly got my dive certification. And you know what? When you get under the water with them, it is, first of all, like watching it, you know, being in a Disney movie. You know, it's like Finding Nemo and Little Mermaid, all these amazing schools of fish and sea turtles and dolphins and eels and just you feel like you're in the middle of this magical world. And then a shark comes in and you start to get excited again. And then it looks at you and it's like, hey, what's up? And then just keeps going. So I remember my first time seeing a big, big shark, though. It was a bull shark. I didn't know it was a bull shark, but I got so excited with my new perspective on sharks that I felt safe enough to start essentially chasing it. I remember my dive instructor chasing after me and grabbing my foot like, you crazy Midwestern girl, what are you doing? Know your sharks.
Slow down.
Triggers them. Yeah. So he sat down with me and really educated me about their role within the coral reef ecosystem and what shark behavior is and what triggers them. And from that point on, I realized, it's extremely rare to have an interaction with a shark. But if I am going to continue educating myself and being a diver and explorer, I need to make sure I know the difference and what to do and where, you know, if I'm in that situation. And yeah, going and chasing after them is not the thing you do.
Right. That gets into this whole idea of you know, provoking unprovoked attacks versus provoking. So, I mean, tell us a little bit about how to avoid provoking sharks in their natural habitat.
Of course. So we have, there's an organization called the International Shark Attack File. They're based at the Florida Museum of Natural History. They've been recording attacks since about 1958, primarily. But they say that there's unprovoked and provoked. And to me, provoked is if you're literally trying to grab the tail of a shark when you're snorkeling or diving, or if it beaches itself, or if you're fishing and it's caught on a line and you're trying to get it off the line. That would be considered provoked to the shark. So it's going to trigger a behavior that makes them go into a defense state. Unprovoked is when you're just doing your thing and you have no idea that a shark is being triggered by your movements, or because they are misunderstanding you. They think that maybe you're a seal or something. And so provoked attacks are, all attacks are very, very rare, but provoked are even more rare. So lately, a lot of people think that attacks are increasing and that there's this spike. And the thing is first of all, we didn't have the recording system all over the planet to record all shark attacks since, you know, 1500. So not everybody could share their numbers.
Right.
And secondly, now that we do have all the technology to reach globally, we have almost 8 billion people and tourism is increasing. So with the population increase, there's more people in the ocean, and that will, of course, just by math, will increase interactions. But all in all, with the population increase, it means that the individual risk decreases. So now it's like, you know, 1 in 3.7 million chances of having an interaction at all if you go in the water. And so it's still really, really rare for it to happen. And so what I want to do is I want you guys to understand that we are not shark bait. Sharks, no matter how many movies and what the news tells you, sharks are not looking to try to eat humans. We are foreign. They don't know what we are. They don't recognize us. So almost all the time, they mistake us when they're hunting next to us. And so it's really, really important that we are very aware of when we're going in the water and how we can trigger some of those accidents, those incidents from happening.
And humans are killing a lot more sharks than sharks are killing humans. Tell us a little bit about, just our impact right now on the shark population in the world's oceans.
Yeah, you know, as of 2019, there's about 50 different shark interactions so far, unprovoked and provoked, fatal and unfatal. And we are killing well over 100 million sharks a year globally. And it's actually, the newest number is closer to 270 million. Mm-hmm. And that's primarily because if somebody does have an incident, countries like Australia will cull sharks, even migratory sharks, to try to decrease the chances of it. So they don't care what shark. If it looks like a shark, they just kill it. Secondly, we have shark fin soup that has become really prestigious and classy in countries like China, for example. It's $100 a bowl. And if you have a huge wedding and everybody gets shark fin soup, then you look really wealthy. And that is unfortunate because they cut off the fins to make them lighter. They don't want to take the whole fish because they don't want to declare the whole fish, and they're trying to surpass fishing quotas with it. And so they're just basically cutting off the fins and then throwing the shark back in to drown, which is so not cool.
So, Stephanie, also, I want to, in our remaining
benefits,
we just have a minute or so left, and I want to make sure we close with this idea of, you know, of avoiding those shark encounters. As incredibly rare as they are, there are a few tips to, you know, sort of protect sharks, protect the ecosystem, and stay out of the way. Give us some tips for avoiding shark encounters, please.
Okay, well, first of all, please still go in the water because your chances are few and far between. Truly, they are. More people died in 15 and 16 from deaths from selfies.
Right.
So please still go in. But when you do, be aware never to grab a shark, not even a nurse shark. Don't swim at dawn, dusk, or in murky waters. Don't go when there's bait fish or chum or a whale carcass nearby. Don't wear shiny jewelry because it could remind them of shiny scales from their prey. No big bloody cuts. Females, for that time of the month, sorry to be forward, you are fine. Okay. This is big gashes in your legs. Don't go in the water if that happens. Don't thrash around unnecessarily because it tells the shark that there could be a sick animal around. And always swim with a buddy. And if you do have an incident, swim slowly towards the shore. Fight back if you have to. Call 911 and to stop the bleeding, apply pressure with many layers of towels right away. Raise your legs and get warm cloths to take care of your shock until an ambulance can arrive.
Stephanie Arney with the Creative Animal Foundation, thank you so much for this. I really appreciate your time today.